Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambrice Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiroprac. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambricetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambricetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambrice Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Kennedy Miller, my guy.
What's going on, my man?
Man, nothing too much. Nothing too much, man. Where can the folks find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore.
All right. All right. I said S as in sangria because I feel like I'm going to need a whole lot of that, Kennedy Miller, because the team that we kind of picked up the last couple of years, our pet project, the Fighting Dan Campbells, the Detroit Lions, we thought they were going to the Super Bowl. They were up 24-7 at halftime. Like, I was so excited for the people, the hardworking citizens of Detroit. They ain't been this excited since the Pistons were still doing their thing in the early to mid 2000s. And then it all came tumbling down. How you feeling, man?
I did want the Lions to win. I thought it would be a good story. Team that, like you said, has been waiting for before our lifetime to even make it this far and for a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. And especially considering the first half, how well they played, like you could tell that Dan Campbell and Brian Johnson had just like drawn up a great like first half. And like Jared Goff was just going with the script, and the 49ers, they weren't ready to play. Like the way that they were moving the ball on that defensive line, the way that they were getting to the second level of that defense, like those dudes had a great game plan coming in. And, you know, Brock Purdy looked like he was drafted as Mr. Irrelevant in the first half. And you got to give credit to the 49ers, right? You got to give credit to the 49ers because they could have mailed it in. They could have given up and said, you know, this is the game and we lost it. But they kept on fighting. And, you know, Dan Campbell was going to get a lot of pushback and we'll talk about it shortly. But, you know, I thought they should have kicked the field goal when they were up by 14. You know, he decided to go for it, which is what he's been doing all year long. That's what the Lions have been doing, is just, you know, hanging their hat on. They believe in going for it on fourth down in those situations. So it, in this case, it came back to bite them, and you could just kind of tell the momentum. People always say, like, momentum is not a real thing. Man, momentum is a real thing in the NFL. And when they cut it to 7 and they fumbled on that next possession, you could just tell, like, it just wasn't about to be the same. And unless they didn't get anything soon, they were going to completely unravel, which is what they ended up doing. And so credit to the 49ers, credit to the 49ers, because they played well. But I really wanted to see Detroit in that Super Bowl.
Man, and to me, the biggest thing for me for Detroit was this. Like you said, everyone is going to give Dan Campbell all kinds of criticism, all kinds of blame. That sometimes just take the points, take the points, take the points. Typically, I would be in that crowd, right? But if you're continuously going forward on fourth down and it's 3rd and 11 and you're going to throw the ball short of the 6 because you know you're going forward on fourth down, that tells you something. First of all, they don't trust their kicker. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the first thing that it tells me. And I think, second of all, it wasn't like those failed fourth down conversions was the reason why they lost the game. On that first failed fourth down conversion, it was a good call.
No doubt.
Goff got pressure. Goff moved up in the pocket, threw the ball to Josh Reynolds. He didn't catch it. On another third down chance, they had to convert on a third down, threw it to Josh Reynolds, hit him dead in the chest, dropped it. Right. Jahmyr Gibbs goes the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Fumbles the ball. That ain't got nothing to do with Dan Campbell going forward and not converting on fourth down. That one deep shot where it looked like this is for sure interception.
Yep.
And then it just goes off homie's face mask, doink, and then right into the hands of Brandon Ayuk at like the 3-yard line.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, going forward or not, it doesn't matter had they converted those fourth down. Had those other plays still happened, Detroit still would have lost that game. And Dan Campbell was being who he was, right? Because we always say scared money don't make none.
Right.
They got to this point being this football team.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't work this time. But I don't think necessarily like that we should rethink our fearless leader, Dan Campbell, right?
Oh.
And like to move on to the 49ers right quick, they showed me something. Because for a very long time, I had thought of the San Francisco 49ers in a similar vein to the Dallas Cowboys. Not that San Francisco 49ers are perpetual losers, but more so along the lines of, I didn't have to do that, kid. I see you looking at me like that.
You didn't, but instead you chose to.
The 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys had a similar thing in common. They both can only play one way. Both of these teams were only really constructed to play from ahead. And if they got to play from behind, it's curtains. With the San Francisco 49ers, with everything being built off of their run scheme, like all of their motions, all of their play actions, all of those shifts, the play action pass game, all of it is built around the idea that the game is tied, they're up 7 or they're up 14 or more, right? If they're down, those play action fakes aren't as effective because we know you have to throw the ball. Right. And prior to the last 2 weeks, Kyle Shanahan had never had a comeback victory
mm-hmm.
of more than 10 points. And he'd been the coach there for 7 years. That was something last night. Coming back from 17 down at the half, like that lead was erased by the end of the third quarter.
Oh, no doubt.
So they showed me a lot. They really did. And it's hard. Because I wanted it so bad for the Dan Campbells. It is. It's tough. Ally to the black community, Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell, who would have been marching with the Freedom Riders. It would have been putting in his money for the NAACP in the 60s. Right. Mm-hmm. He in all of his black cohorts on the staff. I was like, why did it have to happen to them? And you saw the anguish on the Detroit people, man. You saw it. And you saw them as they were melting down. You saw them on social media. Oh, Lord, please, God, no. For the love of God. They're like, I saw somebody like, God, if there's really one in heaven, please let us hold on. And to watch the Lord forsake the city of Detroit.
I always get like nervous, like when. Like what's the Gardner Johnson when he's like waving,
yeah, and
they're up 21-7. I'm like, hold on, man. Like, this is what, the second quarter, at the beginning of the second quarter? It's a long game left. You can't do that yet. And it always comes back to bite him in the butt. DJ Fresh Prince.
They came apart. And speaking of them coming apart, you know who else came a damn part?
Who's that?
Baltimore. Lord have mercy. The Baltimore Ravens came apart in a way that I don't think I expected them to.
Yeah, that was a very disappointing loss, because at least San Francisco, right? San Francisco came back and beat Detroit. But, you know, if we were taking predictions at the beginning of the year, I would say the majority of people that pick the NFC winner, pick San Francisco to be going to the Super Bowl, right? But like with the way Baltimore looked all year, I think we had consistency. Like, Baltimore and San Francisco are the two best teams in the NFL. Like, they should see each other in the Super Bowl. And for Baltimore to, you know, beat Houston, have a home playoff game against a Chiefs team that, you know, and it's crazy that I'm saying this and they're going to the Super Bowl, but has not been as good as they've been in the previous years, or as explosive as they've been in the previous years. for them to kind of have like a stinker at home, like, it was very disappointing. And, you know, Lamar's going to get another MVP. You know, it's going to be some discussions today and for the rest of the week about his play yesterday and Zay Flowers.
To me, aside from Lamar Jackson, my big question is really for the offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. So the Ravens had the best rushing attack in football. The Baltimore Ravens last week against Houston, they ran the ball 42 times for 229 yards, 5 yards a pop. Against Miami, 32 carries, 160, 5 yards a pop. Against San Francisco, when they whipped them, 26 for 102, 4 yards a pop. Jacksonville, 42 for 251, right? Y'all run the football and y'all build everything else off of that. Why did they only run the ball 16 times against Kansas City? Gus Edwards only got 3 carries. Why did they decide on the biggest game of the year, we gonna come out here and beat somebody else? Like, that is mystifying to me, completely mystifying. And when they decided to go out and do this, the biggest problem is, aside from the fact that you're not playing your game, none of your receivers, y'all couldn't scheme nobody open. Like, everyone was plastered. Like, there was no one open at all last night. And so when you pair that with the fact that, and I don't think the Chiefs played well enough to win, but they didn't blow their doors off. The Chiefs didn't run them about the spot. Baltimore really beat themselves. 2 turnovers that I think that Tyron Kennedy was ridiculous, because Travis Kelce was acting a fool a whole game. And it was Zay Flowers makes that catch. Then they find the flags, right? I think the refs did do a poor job on some things, but personal fouls, right? That time when Roquan Smith was trying to went off sides and just blew up the left guard because they were just trying to, hey, if it's better if we give him 1st and 10 than 1st and 5. It's like, just go across the line and touch the guy. And he lit him up, gave him a free 15. Did they not watch and see the Bills run for 185 yards on the Chiefs last week? Because you would think, Ken, would you not think, your coach, Ken, I'm going to ask you this question. If you see a team, if you're watching film of a team you're about to play and you see them struggle with something that you do well, what is your plan?
Got to do it. Got to do it till they stop you.
It just seems like they came out, you know, like, we're not going to do any of that at all. We're going to show up and be a whole new team this week. And more than anybody, more than Lamar, I don't think Lamar deserves some blame, because that interception in a triple coverage was indefensible.
Mm-hmm.
But this is on John Harbaugh, or whichever Harbaugh it is, in Monken, the offensive coordinator. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. I totally agree. I had just seen that as well. Somebody had posted all of the Ravens running backs' total carries per game from week one to the AFC Championship. And only one time had they gotten over or under less than 15 carries just for the running back. And that one time was against the Chiefs. So I don't know, you know, if it's one of those things where they outsmarted themselves and was trying to think too far ahead. And what if they already have this stopped and we're going to do this? But they got some improvement that they got to do. They got some improvement that they got to do within that locker room, because, you know, I thought that was a good enough team to win a Super Bowl. And with that guy in Kansas City and with the coach that he has, those dudes are going to their 4th Super Bowl in, what, 6 years? I think they're going to be better next year. Like, that's the scary part.
That's the thing about Kansas City that's weird, because, and I got to give them a ton of credit, because 6 weeks ago when they played Vegas on Christmas Day and they couldn't line up, they couldn't do anything right, you couldn't have told me this would have happened. Right. Like, logically, realistically speaking. But you know why it happened?
Why?
Because, damn it, you can do all things through Mahomes who strengthens you. We're at that point with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything else ain't right. The 2 offensive tackles aren't good. 4 Kevontae Turpin's out there playing receiver for them. Travis Kelce is older. He's not the same guy he used to be. He looks banged up. Right. Their defense is excellent. Their defense is excellent. But offensively, this isn't what it used to be for them. This isn't like the Legion of Zoom as it was, but they are able to make it work because they got Mahomes. This is like that last year LeBron James is in Cleveland and they had those group of bums with him, right? And it was like they barely made it out of the first round that year. They went to 7 with the Pacers and they ended up making it to the NBA Finals. And the only reason they made it to the NBA Finals is because they had LeBron James. this is that, like, Mahomes is at that level of player, right? Where you can, and it's bad to say this, you can send him out there than any set of folks, and it seems like he can figure this out. You just got to be able to line up right and catch the ball, which shout out to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He was finally able to do. Finally.
Man, I mean, like, that dude is putting himself in rare air. And to do that this young, you know, to already have this much success this young, and it's like Brady, you can't bet against him. Like every time you're like we were talking, and I remember the Christmas game, and I'm like, I don't know about the Chiefs this year. Like they can be had. And we look up, and every week we're like, yeah, they're not as good as they have been in the past. And now they're in the Super Bowl. And it's like, on paper, the 49ers should beat them. But I got to see the game. I got to see 15. 15 going to have 2 weeks with Andy Reid to scheme up something. They gonna be ready. I know that.
You know what I thought about recently today? I'm disappointed for Black America because this is not the Super Bowl that we wanted.
Oh, we wanted right? Baltimore and Detroit.
Yes. Are there some compelling things about this? The San Francisco and Kansas City. It's a rematch from 4 years ago, and the whole nine yards. Yes, it is. That's fine. That's cool. But look, man, we as a Black community deserved at the beginning of Black History Month to get Detroit and Baltimore going to Las Vegas. I wanted to see some of them Steve Harvey Kings of Comedy suits. You know, the ones with the six buttons that Teddy Long used to wear on SmackDown.
We need the all fentanyl bowl.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I wanted to see some Now or Later Gators. I want to see people take their hat off when they speak to women. Old dudes who do that. I want to see a whole bunch of Clydes and Otises in the crowd. Okay. And then we was going to have Usher at the halftime show too. Yeah, boy, yeah, right. Man, we was about to have a Soul Bowl. This was about to be like the Swag Championship. And instead, we got to look at Travis Kelce's little friend every 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
We gonna be subjected to that, and a part of me was hoping that Kansas City lost because I am sick of seeing her.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like, because I mean, I wanted Baltimore to win either way, because you know, like Lamar, I wanted Lamar to get there just for his legacy and stuff. But like, there really is no reason for me to despise the Chiefs. Like, I like Pat Mahomes. No. I like Andy Reid. I've always liked Andy Reid. But like, it's like now they have this like target just because of somebody that's not even on the team. Like, she's not even a part of the team. And she don't say nothing, but the cameras just go to her all the time. And like, we can't stand her.
It's more so about the NFL because they're pushing this and they keep showing her and the whole thing. And I'm like, she has nothing to do with, can the Chiefs beat Cover 4?
Right.
Yeah, and the Chiefs run the football. Right. We don't need this. But, well, you know, my lady thought about the other day, Ken. She said, as the Black community, we need an equivalent.
Yes.
So she said, we need Meg Thee Stallion to get with an NFL player.
That is true.
Like, what this would do for us. Because Sierra, she's colored famous. She's colored folk famous. Okay. That's what she is. Them white folks don't care about her.
Right.
They can't even pronounce her name correctly. Right? But if we got Megan Thee Stallion, but if we were to get Megan Thee Stallion out there, oh man. Look, talk about Fox News. Boy, they will be hot. Hot, I tell you, hot.
That would be a good one.
Oh man. But we stuck with this nonsense, man. And here's the thing. I think the game's gonna be really interesting and really compelling. Yeah, outside of me getting irritated. Every time the Chiefs have the ball. Other than that, like, I think it's going to be a good game. I really do. And to be honest with you, my common sense would tell me the 49ers should win this game.
Exactly.
Because you know what the 49ers, in theory, can do?
What's that?
Get there with four.
Mm-hmm.
Because those Chiefs offensive tackles are not that good. They got that one. They got homie on the at right tackle who is always trying to get off a hair early.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor.
Jawan Taylor.
I think,
Juwan Taylor.
And I think he's going to be lined up. I think Nick Bosa is going to be lined up against him. And talk about another bad way to start Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
Just because that's going to be abusive, what he's going to do to him. We're going to talk about it in the history books, about what Nick Bosa going to do to this man. Like, if San Francisco can get there with four, because San Francisco does not like to blitz a lot. They like to try. Let's try to get there with four, because our front four, in theory, in over the years, has been that great.
Mm-hmm.
We can just play coverage on the back end. If they can get there with four and not have to blitz anybody, they'll be fine. But the thing is, if you have to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes. You don't get pressure on Mahomes, you ain't going to beat him. Because the only time he's lost in the Super Bowl, that's when he was under siege. It looked like against Tampa. Boy, it looked like he was back there getting mobbed.
Yeah, like, that was bad. They were coming with a vengeance that Super Bowl. He was just throwing, like, almost on the ground, like, knee is right on the grass. He's got to let it go because, both their tackles got hurt that year, right?
Yeah, they just had five fat guys out there in front of him.
Yeah, like, and he was still, like, slinging it. Like, that dude is nuts, man.
7 years ago, did you ever see this coming from Patrick Mahomes? Because
absolutely not.
Because I'm thinking back to that draft, man, that 2017 draft. Myles Garrett was the first pick, and the quarterbacks in that draft were Mitch Trubisky,
mm-hmm.
Deshaun Kaiser, you know, the Freaky
yeah.
D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I never thought, like, I thought Mahomes possibly could be good, but what was kind of holding me up, what was the holdup for me with Mahomes, was I had never seen a quarterback come out of that Mike Leach system, or like a derivative of that Mike Leach system, ever be able to become an NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that he was going to be able to do it, it didn't quite make sense for me. Right. But the idea that this dude in 7 years, like, we are talking about him amongst the quarterback greats. We're talking about him being the GOAT. Like, we have just jumped right to Tom Brady. We didn't skip over Peyton Manning entirely.
Right. And Peyton Manning was no joke either. Like he is at a very elite table with a 6-year resume so far. And it's funny you say that, because, like, when you ask that, I can't remember what show that I watched or who I was listening to, but I'm not going to say somebody predicted it, but it was like, when he was going to be the starter, it was like, I think this guy with his arm ability, because, I mean, we all remember watching him at Texas Tech, like, he could sling it, and like you said, that Mike Leach system, but it was like, with his arm ability, with Andy Reid, this guy could end up winning an MVP. And I was like, I never thought about that. He's with Andy Reid. He can sling it. Like, I'd be interested to see how that's going to work out. But, and so I thought, you know, maybe he might be pretty good, but this much success, and then this much team success too. You know what I mean? It's like, this dude about to win his fourth Super Bowl. If he went, like, it'll be his third Super Bowl. Like, bro, you've already got more rings than Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Manning. You'll have more rings than Manning. That's incredible. And, like, I just got to tip my cap. I just got to tip my cap to the dude and, like, just appreciate greatness. Just appreciate greatness while it's here.
What's crazy is he's, what, 27, 28? He got another 7-8 years left in him.
Yep.
Minimum.
For sure.
So, and this was a team, and what should be terrifying for everybody else is, most times we say in the NFL, like, you got a shot at it, right? Mm-hmm. That you make it to one Super Bowl. It's because it's single elimination. It's hard to keep a team like that, keep a team together. This may be your one shot at it. And Dan Campbell mentioned that at his post-game presser. Like, this may be our shot. I hope it's not. We're going to keep putting it together year in, year out, hopefully to get a chance. But this may have been our opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Marino only made it to one Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers has only made it to one Super Bowl. Mahomes, this is Super Bowl number 4 in 6 years as the starting quarterback. Like, they have lost, like, 3 playoff games in total with him.
They lost to Brady twice, and then they lost to the Bengals.
Yes. Like, what? Like, if you looked at his career stats in the playoffs, those are enough to win an MVP. Like, it's maddening. It's maddening. And the worst part is, we didn't think they were that good. That is the craziest part. So next year, once they send them moving boxes in that U-Haul to Kadarius Toney's house, once they bounce McCole Hardman and they draft, they're going to draft some other track stars, probably. Xavier Worthy, Lord knows who else. They're going to draft some more track stars. Oh, Lord, dear. Gotta be sound like Jim Ross. Oh, dear God in heaven. They just, because look, if you see what we've seen is, in order for them to get to the Super Bowl these past 2 years, you just got to line up right and be able to catch the ball. That's all he really need. If you can do more than that and be what Tyreek Hill was for them, what Travis Kelce was for them in his prime, man, it's unfair. That's what this is. This is unfair. It's unfair to the NFL, and it's unfair to Black America that we are going to have to sit through this. So I had already gone. I had already planned to go to Houston to go to Suit Mart to get me an ugly, big lime green suit in solidarity with Detroit and Baltimore. And now I got it. Now I got to send it back.
They said Lamar got to get a white woman and start supporting Trump. Because anybody that's for the culture never succeeds.
Yo, and I would say this. I think Mahomes is like for the culture, but like, it don't hit the same with him and Lamar Jackson.
I think his daddy's for the culture.
Oh boy, Pat Senior's a fool. Yeah, he is. Like, there were pictures of him tailgating out there with the folks in Baltimore. Like, yo, Mahomes Senior, he seems like that old Black man that sits on the porch and hollers at people as they walk by. Hey, how you doing now? What's up, Tony?
No, you know, he seems
trying to get like you, player.
He seems like a hilarious dude to be around.
Like a great hang. Like, that's what he just seems like a great hang. And, you know, I do wonder this. Does Pat Senior still live in that same house in near Tyler? Because he seems like the type of person. If you'd played in Major League Baseball, your son was raised in basically in Tyler, Texas.
Right.
Money don't, like, you're not, he ain't the person that's going to get, clearly not the person that got some money and moved away. Pat Mahomes Sr. still got that house in Tyler. How often do the grandkids come by there? Like, do they spend summers there?
That's a good question. Like, And that's another thing. Like, he just seems like so down to earth. Like, you forget that he played professional sports too. Like you make a great point. Like, he probably does still have a home just out in Tyler, just kicking it. Bro, when he said smoking on that Joe Burrow pack, I almost died.
He is avoiding that that ginormous suite at all cost with his daughter-in-law. And Travis Kelce's little friend. He's like, nah, man, I can't be out here with this, right, man. I got to be out here. With y'all, they don't let me smoke weed in there. You know how we had that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett live stream of the finals?
We need
him to set up with, like, give him a whole setup and just let him talk through the game and what he's seeing.
That's hilarious. He's hilarious.
Oh, that he is. That he is. Shout out to Pat Mahomes Sr. But to move on, to talk about a brother who is smooth like Pat Mahomes Sr., to somebody I'm going to have to start calling the finesse god, Doc Rivers, okay? Because Doc Rivers, someone's given Doc Rivers another job. And Ken, you know, you are the basketball person. You know more about basketball than I do. Can you help make sense of this for me?
I think Doc has a great PR team. And I think he somehow finesse management in Milwaukee because, if I'm not mistaken, I think Doc might be from Chicago, but I do know he went to college in Milwaukee. He went to Marquette. So he's got ties to the area. So I don't know how you can finesse going from an advisor to a first-year head coach to that first-year head coach getting fired, being second in the East, to now you being the head coach. But Doc, you got some explaining to do. And the thing is, this is a team, like, I don't understand firing Adrian Griffin. Like, I know people were unhappy with him. One of our friends of the podcast, TC, is a Milwaukee native. So he had voiced his displeasure with some of the things that he was seeing as a Bucks fan. But also, I mean, it's the guy's first year. Giannis has never played with anybody of the caliber of Damian Lillard. And the same thing with Damian Lillard. He's never played with anybody of the caliber of Giannis. Like, it's going to be some growing pains. In spite of that, they're still second in the East. And so, like, my question is, you fire him midway through the season. What is Doc Rivers going to bring you? Without a training camp, without any familiarity with any of the guys? Like, what is he supposed to give you? And I don't want to knock Doc. Black man get his money, you know, good for him. But let's be real now. How many Hall of Famers does Doc have on his coaching resume with that one championship that he's got? If we actually sat down and did this, he might have more Hall of Famers on his championship resume. I mean, on his coaching resume than most coaches do.
Let's do it.
Okay. Tracy McGrady. That's one. Chris Paul is going to be going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Kawhi Leonard is going to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George is a strong possible. Paul George is a strong possible. Kevin Garnett. In.
Paul Pierce.
Ray Allen. Rondo's a strong possible. Joel Embiid.
James Harden. Come on now.
And now Giannis and Dame.
11. Rasheed's not a Hall of Famer, but he coached Rasheed. He coached that Shaq at the tail end.
We can't count that.
We can't count it. But he got a lot of people on that championship. I mean, on that coaching resume, and not a lot to show for it.
Because now you got me thinking about it. A Doc Rivers team has not made the conference finals since that 2012 year.
Yes,
with Boston. Like, that was like the last time, right? And my big thing with Doc is really this, right? Every team we have seen Doc Rivers coach over the past 15 years has had problems getting along.
Mm-hmm.
Those Clippers teams, like during those Lob City years, then when Kawhi and PG showed up and they had that meltdown in the bubble, the big thing in all the journalism and reporting that came out of that was there were chemistry issues on the roster that Doc did not manage well. Doc did not manage integrating Kawhi and PG into that nucleus they had of Montrezl Harrell, Pat Bev, right. Lou Williams. Like, he didn't manage that well at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those last year or two in Boston, people weren't getting along. So you're going to bring him into a situation that is already a bit shaky with people who are not getting along with the coaching staff. You're going to bring Doc Rivers is not the steadying hand in this situation. And then to me, like, they're making, I mean, I know they said Adrian Griffin had been consulting with Doc Rivers all year as like an advisor, but I don't think Doc was on the payroll. You're making an external hire during the year. That's crazy to me. Like,
absolutely.
In 2016, when the Cavs dumped David Blatt, they just went to T. Lou as a second in command, right? With Joe Mazzulla over there in Boston, I really get the feeling that if things had not gone well to start the season, Sam Cassell would have been the man, because they hired Sam Cassell on the staff this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Doc Rivers. Like, when in the last 15 years has Doc Rivers demonstrated his ability to get a team over the hump? Doc Rivers has not been able to get a team over the hump since Obama first got elected.
Man, I was just about to say, like, the last time Doc Rivers' team was in the finals, I was at a PV STEM camp.
You was at the Bernard Harris camp?
Come on. I was at Bernard Harris camp watching game 7 of the finals.
It's wild that I know it was that camp. It's wild.
Like, come on now. What are we talking about? And I think what it is people love the idea of Doc Rivers, the coach of the big three, because for some reason that team is just like that one championship. Those guys are just revered so much. But people love the idea of the coach of the big three because he took them to Italy and they got all these stories that they always go back over again. And then he was the coach of the Clippers and he went through the Donald Sterling thing. He went through the whole Donald Sterling situation. But in reality, like, there are some things that he has the answer for. Like, he's got the most 3-1 leads blown as a coach. He's got the most. That's not all on the players, because that was not all. It wasn't like that was all in Los Angeles. He did it in Orlando. He did it in did he do it in Boston? I don't know if he blew one in Boston.
He blew a 3-2 lead in that 2010 final series.
He blew a 3-2 lead against Miami.
And he blew, what, 2-3-1s against in LA.
Yep.
Doc has not left his last four jobs voluntarily.
All right. And okay. Like, he speaks well, you know. He probably should have stayed with his NBA job, like, because he was doing a pretty good job as a commentator. That was the most I could ever understand him. But I don't see how it's going to provide much more of an impact at this point.
My conclusion, you remember in The Wire when they kept threatening Lieutenant Daniels with that FBI file, Burrell kept pulling that file out of his drawer and slapping it on the table to make Daniels do what he wanted Daniels to do.
Yes.
You remember that? I think Doc Rivers is doing the same thing with somebody in the NBA, because he has got to have naked pictures of somebody. He's got to have some incriminating information about someone, because I don't understand how he keeps getting jobs. Like, It is legitimately mystifying to me. But yep. You know what? We got the support here on this show. We about to start Black History Month, Kennedy Miller. You know, we got the support.
We got to support our people.
We got to support Black mediocrity. We got to support Black folks just being pretty good. Because you know, mm-hmm. They got to be twice as good to get half as far. Where Doc Rivers ain't twice as good. He a little bit better than average. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. We got the support. We got to support our brothers who ain't quite great. Okay, we got to support. We can't just support LeBron James. We got to support Quentin Richardson. You know what I'm talking about? We got to support them. And we got to see them do well. It's like our Black backup quarterbacks. We see Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs is Black history. Okay?
Yes.
We got to support Doc Rivers all the way till they blow a 3-2 lead. Philadelphia or something. And then we're going to be saying, fire Doc Rivers again.
Oh, my God. Don't let Philadelphia beat him. That'll be a bad look.
Hey, Doc going to find somebody to blow a lead to. He ain't never seen a lead he couldn't blow.
He don't make adjustments. He doesn't make adjustments. That's his fatal flaw.
Which is wild because they said Adrian Griffin wasn't making adjustments. So you go hire a dude who does the same thing that you just fired the other guy for not doing? They just didn't like him. That's called. They just didn't like Adrian Griffin. They wanted him out of there. Like, no, he got to go. They went to the boss and said, "You got to fire this dude, Jack."
Right. And now Giannis, don't start doing this. Like, you put him like a LeBron thing. Like, oh, I was shocked by the move and I didn't know. Stop it. Everybody knows. That the guys that get paid the big bucks, they get consulted about these things. Don't act like you didn't play no part in this. Don't act like you didn't play no part in this. You know you pulled that trick.
Absolutely. And that is another episode of the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my guy, I got to thank you for hanging out with me, man.
It's always a pleasure, man. Always a good time. Always a good time.
Hey man, we do what we can. Where can the folks find you? Can they find you on Twitter this weekend?
You can find me. Last time
you didn't want the folks to find you nowhere. You wanted to be left alone.
So. Well, we don't have to talk about that still. But you can find me on Twitter at _KennedyMiller_. I'm sorry because you just got me on my soapbox. I don't know who in God's name told Jerry Jones it was a good idea to keep Mike McCarthy. We didn't talk about it today. It wasn't on the list to talk about. We don't have to talk about it, but let's just go off. Let's just go off there.
No, let's stay right here. We're going to stay right here. You brought it up before the show. I asked you, did you want to talk about it?
I told you no.
You brought it up. So here's what I'm going to tell you, kid. Jerry Jones, the last coach of Jerry Jones, really fired was Dave Campo when Dave Campo went 5-11 3 years in a row, right? Bill Parcells quit that job. You know, Jason Garrett's first 3 years, they went 8-8 3 years in a row, and he didn't fire him. Jason Garrett only had 3 winning seasons in which they made the playoffs.
Tell me something I don't know.
And he kept that job for 9 years. So at this rate, Mike McCarthy has won 12 games, three out of his 4 years. If that by this rate and by that metric, Mike McCarthy gonna have that job until my nephew is 12 years old. He is 4.
Just for context for the people.
Yes. Mike McCarthy gonna have that job till that little boy is in middle school. And I am glad I don't have to deal with that problem. Kennedy Miller, that's gonna be all you. You refuse to hop in the portal or be single as a football fan for a while. So that is. When they go, are they going to drag you out of the house, Ken? Are they going to have to show up to the couples retreat with somebody else and make you drive to Colorado Springs?
Alex, you follow me on Instagram. When the Cowboys lost and I posted that Florida Evans, damn, damn, damn. I thought about Florida Evans for a moment. At this point in time, when she found out that James was dead, did she ever think maybe I should have let JJ take that money? Maybe I should have let James go with that fake preacher that was going all around town paying him all that money? Would have been worth it then? You bring up all these great examples. I might be the next Florida Evans.
And I'm gonna tell you something, boy. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I am the leader of the Florida Evans hate club.
Oh yeah,
I hate Florida
Evans. Oh yeah, one of the worst Florida Evans of all time.
She's awful. One of the homies one time in college said he wanted a Florida and James Evans type of love. I said, you want to be stupid.
That's you thing you could do.
Like, why would you ever want to be what? Because Florida Evans is the worst black TV mother known to man. Every time James fell up on a play, here come Florida. No James get a money back. Oh, James Five found $25,000 in a trash bag outside.
On the
Florida
street.
Florida threatened to divorce him. James turned the money and they give him a gift card. And the worst one was this. James dies. Florida gets remarried and she leaves her children in the ghetto to go to Arizona with some man.
And wasn't he an atheist too? Like, he ain't even believe in God.
Yeah. She was yelling at Michael about there not being a black Jesus. He gonna run off with some man. Like, Florida's Florida's bad. So Kennedy, if you go be the next Florida Evans, we might not need to be friends no more. Cause I hate Florida like Jim Ross hate Triple H. Oh, I hate Florida Evans.
From the standpoint of like trying to stand pat, and then it just all comes crumbling down.
You gonna be scratching and surviving?
It's been more than temporary layoffs for me.
Easy credit ripoffs.
Oh, ain't we lucky we got them?
Oh my God. I don't even know how we got here. We were trying to wrap the show up.
I'm sorry.
Are you good? You guys can follow me on Twitter, Alex Goodwin TSM. It's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in tacos, S as in sangria, M as in margaritas. Follow the show on Instagram at underscore the game plan podcast. Again, on Instagram at underscore the game plan podcast. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast. We will catch you guys next time. Y'all take it light.